Let me give you another translation of verse 27. It says, anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on Jesus at his death. I think it's very serious, isn't it?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's 1 Corinthians series. Today, Pastor concludes the message, Remember Me. Let's listen in.
So, imagine sacrifice after sacrifice, lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb, bull and goats over and over and over for all those hundreds, thousands of years. And now we celebrate like the Corinthians celebrate. It's all been narrowed down to that one final cup. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the final sacrifice for all sins. Amen. I thank God for that. Our sin debt is completely paid. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy toward us who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, and that's incalculable, by the way, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Man, you can't find them. You see, they're truly hidden in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? They're really, God says in Hebrews 10:17, I remember your sins no more. Divine forgetfulness. I don't know how He does it, but I thank God that He does. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans 5:9, it says, much more then. It says, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. The great doctrine of justification. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, He made Him, God made Jesus. It says, who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, the church today is negligent in teaching the great doctrine of justification, imputation from the pulpit. Those are some of the greatest doctrines that every Christian should have in their heart and understood completely. Listen, whenever we came to Christ, here I am, I'm an unbeliever. I'm on that beach in Florida. You know the story. And there I am messed up in my life. And you know what? The hippie on the beach comes by, he leads me to the Lord. The very moment that I say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, come into my heart, I stood justified by God. The courtroom of heaven, he says, oh, there's a brand new son right there. And the gavel goes down and he says, just as if he had never sinned. Why? Jesus paid for all of my sin. What does he do? Imputation then takes place. He transfers Jesus' perfect righteousness, his sinless record, his spotless record, him keeping the law, doing everything that pleased God the Father. He puts it into my account. He puts it into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you perfect in Christ Jesus. No wonder that Jesus said, don't you want to remember me? Don't you want to remember all that I have done for you? It's all paid for. And he goes, for as often in verse 26, it doesn't tell us how often to celebrate communion, but as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he what? Did you know that's prophetic, isn't it? That's more than the second coming, loved one. That speaks of the rapture of the church as well. So we look back at what Jesus has done and we look ahead because Jesus is truly coming. Listen, the Lord's Supper is not weekly, monthly. It's not a ritual. It is deep fellowship with the Lord. We are the family of the living God. Then and now, all of those who eat the bread and drink the cup, all of us in a few minutes, we're going to systematically proclaim, Harley, help me, the Lord's death until he comes. Amen? And we're going to do it silently. You see, the Lord's table, as you hear me say during every Wednesday communion at the end of the month, it's temporary. It's not going to last forever. It says, until he comes. That means Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's here with us, but he's also seated to the right hand of God. He's waiting on God the Father to say, go get him. You better watch. You better be ready, Jesus said. You don't know the day, the hour. You don't know when he's going to come. Oh, no, don't be caught off guard. The rapture, the catching away of the church could happen at any minute. No wonder, the disciples there cried out, Maranatha. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. Come today in Jesus' name. Amen? Oh, what a glorious day that would be. And then you know what? When the church is gone, the whole world, you can be united now. Be united in sin. But we're gone home. We're going to be with the Lord, and we'll see you again in 7 years. Amen? Now, he says, therefore, very carefully, now listen carefully, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, that means without proper reverence, it also means that it can be done by a believer, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body, in other words, profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Listen, the cup and the blood belong to Christ. We're partaking of that. We're sharing in that, loved one. And I know that if you're from different denominations, and many of you are, you probably say, well, I was taught this and I was taught that. There's many different explanations about that. For example, coming to the Lord's table, but you haven't really repented of your sin. That I'm sure that's one of the reasons right here. But I know that in context, it's speaking about the church at Corinth, and many even today, that they treat the Lord's Supper as a ritual. It's not a ritual. Man, don't ever, ever, ever do that. We should never regard the table as a ritual. No. And also, another problem is partaking of the Lord's Supper in a nonchalant manner. And I'm sure a nonchalant manner would be somebody texting. I hate to include that, but I'm sure, It would be like this, guys. You're at a funeral. The minister is getting ready. He's seated. The family has already been seated. They're up there at the front. You're visiting, and you're just going to be you're friends with maybe the deceased. Someone is sitting next to you. And you say, have you heard the joke about da-da-da-da-da? And he would look at you and go, what? This is not the time. This is not the place for you to be telling a joke. Are you following me? Okay, this is the same thing right here. Let me give you another translation of verse 27. It says, anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on Jesus at his death. I think it's very serious, isn't it? Listen, but if we really want to study this, I believe, in context, we have to go back to verse 21 when it talks about divisions in the church, because that's what Paul was talking about. He said, you know what? You're tearing each other up. You're ripping each other up. You're not sharing your food. You're not doing any of those things. You're divided and you're drunk. He said, you can't be doing that. That kind of behavior, man, that's not admissible. If you're not sharing your food with one of your brothers or your sisters, that's a serious sin. Why? They're part of the body of Christ. Amen? So if you sin against him, then you're sinning against our Lord as well. So what does Paul say to do? Well, he said, look back, as we already know. And he says, look forward. Jesus is going to come back. And he says, you better check out your heart. So you look within, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So in other words, you don't say, well, I can't eat of the cup because I'm... No, get clean yourself up and then come partake of it. Amen? That's what he's saying. See, always look within. That's why you always hear me pray that prayer. Lord, if we sin by word, deed, thought, action, that one. I want to cover every base I can. I want to examine my heart. Lord, I love you, and I know you love me, and I'm going to have self-examination before I put the cup or the bread to my mouth. And that's what God tells us to do. Listen, check out your heart. We're going to celebrate communion in a moment. Is there something there that shouldn't be there? Do you have aught against your neighbor, your friend? If you do, do what Jesus said in Matthew 18, and run to him and gain your brother. Don't lose your brother or your sister. You follow me? If you're living in sin, you're fornicating, you better get straightened out right now. You better repent of it because God knows. Are you listening to me? This is a very serious time. You know, you don't ever hide your sin. You know what the Bible says about hiding our sin? It says in Proverbs 28:13, the Lord says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Whoever confesses, forsakes him, he will have mercy. We know in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, Lord, I've sinned. I'm in sin. I'm in trouble. I love you and I'm in trouble. Oh, God, forgive me. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great God we serve. Amen. When we just go to him and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. Now, we know now that means without examining your own heart, okay? Eats and drinks what? Judgment to himself. Now, listen carefully. That cannot be eternal judgment because we've passed from death into life. We'll not come into the judgment. John 5:24, right? Okay. Romans 8:1. Now, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, no judgment. So we're not talking about eternal judgment. We're talking about corrected judgment from the Lord. Let's read it again. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, meaning he doesn't practice self-examination in his heart, eats and drinks corrective judgment, I just added to that, to himself. Why? He's not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, this careless participation, if you will, in the Lord's Supper, watch this now. Many are weak, they're sick, and many sleep. So not just a few, man, many people are dead. So for this reason, the reason literally here, though, is not discerning the Lord's body. They were sick and weak and so forth. See, it has two meanings, but to not discern the Lord's body can also mean the church. Are we the body of Christ? That's exactly right. So in context, again, like Paul said, what are you doing? You're tearing one another to pieces. You're dividing the church. You're sowing discord. You're mistreating your brothers and your sisters. He said, listen, that's against the body of Christ. And if you're doing it to your brother, you're doing it to the Lord. Remember what it says in Ephesians 5:30, that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Amen? We are literally the body of Christ. Jesus is our head. Look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, and I would like to say judged with weakness and sickness and death, because that's what, in context, he's talking about. But when we are judged, and look who judges us, we are chastened, we're disciplined by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Now listen, God only chastens those that he loves. He doesn't chasten children of darkness, only children of light, okay? He says, and you know what? God says, if you're not willing to get right, then you know what? You're probably going to be corrected by me. Therefore, my brethren, and that word includes sisters too, by the way, when you come together to eat, meaning the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. Anyone hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. In other words, that your meeting that you're doing may not lead to judgment because of the behavior they were doing. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. We are not told what the rest is, but that must mean it's bad, okay? This church, I'm telling you. Now listen, what's Paul saying? He's saying the Lord's Supper is not for self-indulgence. That wouldn't be our case, but it would be for them because they were getting wasted at their agape feast and starting to participate and, you know, all that stuff. So there's a big difference between the agape meal and the Lord's Supper. Amen? Now, I want you to look back at verse 29 very quickly. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment, remember, not eternal judgment, but correct judgment, corrective judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This reason, many are sick, weak and sick among you, many sleep. You know, listen, what does Jesus, he says, I want you to remember me. He wants to remember the bread and the cup. He wants to remember that his body hung on the cross for you and for me. Amen? That means that he wants us to discern, look at that word again, it says, not discerning the Lord's body. This is the second meaning. The first one was to harm another Christian. Here, it's about the Lord, not discerning the Lord's body, what Jesus has done for you and for me upon the cross. He says, I want you to discern the Lord's body rightly. Loved one, listen to me. In a few minutes, matter of fact, ushers, let's go ahead and let's start passing out communion. But everyone, keep listening to me. Please don't get off into another world. Stay right here with me this morning. You see, to discern the Lord's body rightly has to do with the bread of the cup and knowing what it means. We are free. Amen? Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, ye shall be free indeed. What is Jesus saying? Here's what he wants us to remember, that every sin has been paid for. Amen? He doesn't want you to live under condemnation with, oh, I don't know that I'm forgiven. I don't know that he really loves me. That's a lie. He has forgiven you. He really has forgiven you, and all of your sins have been forgiven. Hell was defeated. Sin's defeated. The grave's defeated. The devil's defeated. You have overcome the world. Jesus, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember me. Do you remember on Resurrection Sunday, whenever Jesus had risen from the dead, and there were two disciples, they were on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles going home, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They wanted to get as far from the cross, they wanted to get as far from the happenings that day that they could. One disciple's name was Cleophas. I don't know the other one's name. And they were walking along the way, and they were sad. Y'all remember the story? Two sad, disappointed, hopeless disciples. Jesus comes up along next to them. They didn't, of course, they didn't know who he was, as their eyes were blinded from that. And he said, why do you look so sad? And they say, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know the happenings of this day? About Jesus, a good man and a prophet who we thought was, or hoping was going to redeem us, redeem Israel? And what did Jesus do? They didn't know it was the Lord. He says, oh, foolish and hard of heart to believe. Then Jesus starts teaching them through the Psalms and the prophets all about the Messiah. And as the evening was rolling around, they grab a hold of the Lord. They literally constrain him. And they say, please, it's night. Come into our home. Stay with us tonight. Do y'all remember that story? And you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. It said about these two people, because they believed Jesus dead. Remember? They still believe in Jesus. And they still love Jesus. But they believed him dead. You see, they saw failure in the cross. Do you? I pray you don't. And it says there that, it says, now it came to pass as Jesus sat at the table with them that he took bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to them. And listen carefully. And then their eyes were opened. They knew him, meaning they believed. And listen to what Jesus did. I love it. And he vanished out of their sight. Not out of their hearts, but out of their sights. Why did Jesus do that? I mean, think about it. There he is. You have the bread in your hand. You have the cup in your hand. That's what they had. There, the breaking of the bread, whatever cup Jesus used. But they, all of a sudden, when he broke the bread, he said, do you really see failure in the cross? Did you not believe my word that all I died for the sins of the world? That your sins are paid for? Did I not tell you that I would rise from the dead? Did I not tell you that? Oh, slow of heart to believe. And when he broke that bread, their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus. Jesus in their midst. Jesus in our midst. When I read that story, loved one, he says, you know, maybe if I can jog your memory, If I break it, will you remember? Because you sat with me before. In the moment that he did that, man, their eyes were opened. What was Jesus saying? When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, loved one, you know what he's saying? Don't you ever forget the cross. Don't you ever, ever forget. Wherever Jesus is invited becomes a place of revelation. Amen? I pray that when we partake of the cup and of the bread, it becomes a place of revelation to you as well. Listen, why did Jesus do that? He did it for them. He did it for us. He wants you to know just like he wanted them to know that even though we have lost his bodily presence, we haven't lost a thing. Amen? See, he really is here with us right now. And it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked along the road? And well, he opened the scriptures to us. I pray you're on the right road. I pray that you don't have a cold heart, but a warm heart. We're going to celebrate our oneness. We're going to celebrate our unity in the very presence of the Lord. He really is here. You know what the bread and the cup, you know what it really means? You know what it really is? Yes, it's his body, his blood, the covenant. He died on the cross. Jesus left this and he said, when you see this, you think about me. This is my picture that I'm leaving you that you carry in your wallet. Look, and you understand me? He says, I want you, when you hold that right now, when you see this, loved one, listen to me. You see Jesus. Do you understand me? He's right here. He is right here right now. He said, remember me by the bread. He doesn't want you to remember him by anything else than hanging on the cross, taking our sin, our punishment, our shame, dying our death. And he all did it by the blood. Remember me by the blood, because I've washed away every sin you could ever commit. I love you, never leave you, and I'm coming back for you. You will see me again, that where I am, you may be also. Lord Jesus, Father God, I look at the bread and I look at the cup. I see my Savior. I see you. Thank you. Thank you for giving your body and taking my place. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. Father, from this day forth, when we think of our Lord and we remember him, we're going to see the bread and the blood, the cup of the new covenant in his blood. We give you praise. What we do now, we proclaim the Lord's death for us until he returns. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come to your table. Thank you for allowing us to see you in the cup, in the bread. Thank you for opening our eyes and our hearts. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, glory, honor, Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study from 1 Corinthians continues with the message entitled, I Don't Want You to Be Ignorant. And we encourage you to join us once again. Thanks everyone for listening with us, and please enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.